Have you ever heard someone object to, you know, Christianity or saying, I could never go to church. I have a sour taste in my mouth towards Christians because, you know, my dad was a Christian and he just was a hypocrite. Or, you know, I went to this church and it was just full of all these people who just were really mean and nasty. And I just don't want to have anything to do with following Jesus. Ever heard people that said stuff like that, that their problem with Christianity is people who call themselves Christian but don't really necessarily look like they're like Jesus, right?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of
my karaokeing life, okay? I like to sing karaoke. Now, if you ever came to do karaoke with me, you would probably question my decision-making abilities. Like, is this guy, like, what's he thinking? Why is he up there? Why is he singing? He's a terrible singer. Yes, I'm a terrible singer. But some of us, we do karaoke because we know we can't sing anywhere else. Like, we know we're not going to get up on stage at church and sing, right? Never going to get asked. But at karaoke, it's kind of like, all right, go for it. Have fun. Pretend you're some rock star, Sean. And I have ruined many songs for people. Like, I thought I liked U2 until I heard Sean's rendition of it.
Right? And if you started, like, not liking U2 because you couldn't get my rendition out of your head, that's not U2's fault, right?
That's my fault, and you're kind of fault for listening to me and coming and listening to me at karaoke. You could actually just go back to the source and listen to U2 and get your love for him back. And so that's the same reality when it comes to following Jesus. And even though not everybody, you know, represents him well, that doesn't mean he's wrong. Right, if I tried to play Mozart on the piano and I said, hey, here's Mozart, right? You'd be like, man, Mozart's a terrible composer. Like, I thought he was, like, really good. I thought he was famous. And I'm like, that sounds awful, right? Because I'm not a very good piano player. So I'm not going to represent Mozart very well. So don't judge Mozart by my attempts to play him. And so, you know, maybe there are people that have those objections. Maybe just say, hey, are you judging? Are you giving Jesus a fair chance? Are you just judging him based upon other people's rendition of what it means to follow him? Now, every once in a while, there are people who I look at and I'm like, man, I know that person's not perfect, but they're an inspiration to me in what it means to follow Jesus. One woman recently I was reading about named Mother Antonia. She was born Mary Clark and lived in Southern California as a child. Her father was a successful businessman. She grew up and, you know, going to church and saying, I want to help people that are in need. I've got all my needs provided for, so I want to serve others. And so she, you know, sent money to foreign countries to help the poor in foreign countries. Eventually she would go and take trips to Mexico where she would serve the poor in Mexico. But eventually her service to the poor wasn't enough. She was like, I need to do more. She actually, you know, went through some divorces and said, I need to find my real joy and my significance in serving other people. And so she started going to this prison, this very dangerous prison in Tijuana, La Mesa. And she started serving the prisoners there. And she was always kind of worrying about them. Are they going to be warm enough tonight? Are they okay? Are they sick? And then she got permission. She said, I just can't go and visit them every once in a while. I need to live amongst them. And so that's what she did. She got permission to move into a 10 by 10 concrete cell. She slept on a cot so that she could live amongst the prisoners and minister to them from the inside. And so she lived there for a long, long time, just looking out for the needs of the prisoners, giving them toiletries, toothbrushes, toothpaste, medicine, blankets, clothing, making sure that they had their needs provided for them. The prisoners, they shared one story of there was once this very violent prison riot that she quelled by just walking into the middle of it. The bullets were flying, tear gas was in the air. She just walked in the middle of the chaos and the fighting stopped. Why? Because she was light in the darkness. And it reminds me of what Jesus has done for us and something that we celebrate around this time of Christmas. Matthew chapter 4 says this, verse 15, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light.
On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And many prisoners called Mother Antonia their mom, La Mama. She's our mom. She's taking care of us. And many found hope. Many found a different way to live because of her light that she brought to that dark, dark prison. Now, that's what Jesus has done for us. The book of John chapter 1:14 says that the Word, meaning Jesus, this eternal Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases it in the Message. He says that the Word became flesh, he wrapped himself in flesh, and he moved into the neighborhood. He moved in. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Yeah, it's pretty amazing that a woman like Mama Antonia would leave her earthly possessions, would forsake it all in order to move into a 10-by-10 jail cell in order to minister to some crazy, violent men. But that's what she said Jesus did, right? That's what she said Jesus has done for me, so I need to do it for other people. So yeah, the world around us needs some light. That they need some people to be generous, to be kind. Maybe just someone who you need to tell somebody today, Jesus loves you. I was at Panera Bread, whatever they call it these days, the other day. And a woman sat down next to me, and I'm like, that's weird. She could have sat anywhere, but she kind of sat next to me, and I was getting ready to leave. And as I got ready to leave, she just says, "Jesus loves you." And I said, "Yes, he does. He does love me." And then she went on to explain, because we started talking about faith and Jesus and sharing our faith with other people. And she said, "You know what? I remember this one time I was at work," and she began to cry. She began to really get emotional. She's like, "There was a young lady who I could tell was going through a hard time. And I knew it was kind of against our corporate policy to talk about Jesus. But I just went up to her and I said, 'Jesus loves you.'" And Natalie, this woman, she's crying. She says, and that's what she needed to hear that day. Right? She couldn't get anything out. That's what she needed to hear that day. Who knows how you can be light in somebody's darkness today? Maybe it's just to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Maybe it's just to listen to somebody who's going through a hard time and said, "I'm sorry, but I'm going to pray for you about that." We can all be light in the darkness. It's probably not going to require us to move into a 10-by-10 cell in a prison, but it will probably mean we got to move into somebody's darkness so that we can shine brightly for Jesus. That's our challenge today. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that, yeah, your son Jesus voluntarily came down and he laid down his life for us. He gave his all. He moved into the neighborhood, God. And so we just thank, please remind us of the great lengths that you went to bring us back to you, to bring light to our darkness, God. Help us to be that light in other people's darkness today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.